Hello and welcome to this episode of Crop Talk. I am your host, Thad Stauffer, and joining me in this episode are Jason Gama and Tom Timko, our state insurance product officers here at Compeer. As we record this episode, it is early November 2021, and the crop insurance harvest prices are a topic of a conversation, as well as areas that we've seen in our territory that have dealt with drought, wind, down corn, and even some beans that were lodged. And so as we think about the 2021 crop, harvest is wrapping up, prices are set. It's one of those situations where it's never too early to talk 2022. In our last episode, we talked about margin protection and what that might do. And we talked about, at that point in time, ideas and ways to look at 2022 and set a price floor. And when you have these conversations, I thought it would be healthy for us to bring this conversation to you, our listeners, and really kind of bring in that pricing environment that we're in today, as well as current price, as well as future prices, and talk through some strategies and ideas that might help our listeners, or at least be well informed. And so joining us today is a special guest. It is Matt Klein, who is an assistant vice president with Great American Insurance Company, and we have been having a conversation with him talking about margin protection, 2022 prices, really anything under the sun as it relates to 2022, which I realize for most of our listeners seems way early when the crop hasn't even been planted or even thought about being planted. But as we know in our business, if we don't bring information to you, somebody else will. And so we want to bring this conversation to you today. So Matt, welcome to our Crop Talk podcast.
Thanks, Thad. I appreciate your all's time. And there are probably a few of your listeners that fortunately started the conversation about 2022 already and may have captured some pretty good prices here for the upcoming year, especially when you look historically where we've had projected prices. We haven't been at projected prices this high or higher very many times in recent history. And so if you haven't done anything with margin protection, you're not out of the game. There's other tools that that Compeer offers, that Great American offers, that could take advantage of the prices. They're still pretty good. We just closed today, 4th of November at 5.43 on corn and 12.23 on beans. We are over $5.50 earlier in the week. But some pretty good prices. But just kind of wrapping up and on 2021, the harvest price came out here last week. We ended the tracking period. We ended with a harvest price on corn at 5.37. Soybeans ended at 12.30. So we tacked on a higher harvest price versus the projected price on both that RP policy and that margin protection policy. I had to put a report together for the rest of our manager team here, just kind of an October end report, and I thought it was fitting to give some statistics on harvest prices as related to, you know, the projected price, but also the difference in projected and harvest price with RP versus margin protection. And so when you look at the last 18 years, and the last 18 years is going to be a theme here in my discussion today, you know, 2004 to 2021. But in the last 18 years, when you're looking at margin protection, we've had a higher harvest price 7 out of those 18 years. And the average of those 7 years in which the harvest price is higher was $1.06. But if you look in the last 10 years, we've only had a harvest price higher than the projected price 2 times. But the average of that increase was $1.25. When you look at RP, in the last 18 years, 6 of those 18 years, we had a higher harvest price. But that average was only 82 cents higher. As opposed to the margin protection at $1.06. When you look at the last 10 years on RP, we had one more year that we had a harvest price increase, so 3 out of the last 10 years, and the average increase was 91 cents compared to the average increase on margin protection in the last 10 years of $1.25. So when you look at it, we're looking at margin protection versus RP in relationship to the projected and the harvest price, you know, you get a much larger increase in the harvest price in those years in which the harvest price is larger than the projected price. You're going to see the same thing when prices go lower. So I just wanted to kind of give a relationship when prices go lower from the spring to the fall to see, you know, if the trend is the same on corn. So with margin protection, you know, obviously, you know, we had more years where the price has been down. And so 11 to 18 years, the price has been down at harvest with margin protection. And the average of those years in which we had a decrease is 76 cents. On RP, we've had 12 out of the last 18 years where we had a lower harvest price. And the average of those 12 years in which we went down is only 59 cents. So with margin protection, when the harvest price goes higher, it's a larger increase. And then also with margin protection, when the prices go lower at harvest, the price declines are greater. And so, you know, again, that's something that might be a selling point for margin protection. I'm fully aware that the sales closing date is coming past on margin protection, but you know, just telling you these statistics here is something that you might find useful, you know, maybe 9-10 months from now when you're thinking about margin protection for 2023.
Let me interrupt you there. So obviously throwing a lot of numbers out there, there'll obviously be, we'll be thinking about those. You think about the current price environment, right? And you mentioned margin has come and gone. As far as that opportunity for a 2022 crop insurance plan, you mentioned earlier current prices have been this week even around $5.50 and over $12 for beans. We have a lot of listeners that are thinking about, okay, I didn't pull the trigger on margin. I'm looking ahead to the February average for 2022. There's all kinds of price volatility between now and February. What's been some of your conversations with your team there or even our team internally here about those numbers you just shared as far as where those trends are going between now and February or even jumping ahead between now and 12 months from now when that next harvest price is established? Any insight there from your set?
Well, historically, it's bearish. You know, historically, we've gone lower. When we are at a price point this time of the year, in the late fall, you know, historically we've gone down. We've gone down between now when the RP price is set, and we've gone down almost every single time from the next harvest. And so, we're getting our team kind of re-engaged, the Great American sales staff, to talk about our power, to talk about price flux. Just because you didn't lock in a very good projected price on margin protection doesn't mean you're out of the game as far as being able to manage some price risk with a private crop insurance policy. But you know, also you might have a conversation with a grower about not even doing any insurance. You know, if we've got board prices that are well above five, you know, well above $12. You know, there's nothing wrong with managing price risk with maybe doing some forward selling. We had an adjuster in Iowa who also farms, and he sold some corn a couple weeks ago for a little bit over $5, new crop 2022. Now, granted, not every elevator across the Corn Belt is maybe accepting bids beyond maybe September or October of 2022, but you know, it doesn't take much to make a phone call to see if there will be a bid, and you know, getting that for cash price is good. You know, with prices, if they can hold right now, if we can hold into the $5 until next spring when we set that RP price, you know, that's a pretty strong price. So maybe you can, maybe you don't even need these private supplementals. Maybe an 80 or 85 RP is just fine to lock in a good amount of revenue per acre. You know, hopefully you're fortunate enough to get your fertilizer at a good price, to where you have enough crop insurance to cover your expenses. But, you know, we would just rather have the farmer be comfortable with what they're buying and the agent comfortable with what they're selling. But like you said, it's that We would rather have these conversations with our agents as opposed to our competitors, and I think that your agents would rather have Compeer talk about these products or strategies as opposed to your competition. But those are some of the things we're looking at here. You know, we've got good prices. We got some tools where we can do some things with these good prices. The private supplementals do cost a little bit of money, but there's nothing wrong with spending some money to put in a 5.43 crop insurance price for corn on that RP or a little over $12 on beans. And if the market holds, or as Tom, you mentioned the other day, we get, the market has to bid for acres for 2022, you've got another shot at capturing what could be a bull market during the month of February with that RP policy you're going to buy anyway. And if you're sitting with a margin protection policy right now, more than likely you're going to buy an RP policy underneath. You're going to be able to have a pretty nice RP policy along with that margin policy. Again, if crop prices rise above where they're at right now, which they have not done. The last four out of the last 18 years that we've had a margin protection price at this price point or higher on both corn and beans, so corn four times and soybeans three times, where we've had a projected price this high, in all four of those years on corn and all three of those years on soybeans, the RP price was lower than the margin protection projected price. And in three of those 4 years on corn and all 3 years on beans, the harvest price was lower than the margin protection projected price. So history is not on our side to hold these prices higher, but never say never. But, again, we've got some tools to help you mitigate some of this risk and capture some of these prices.
Yeah, Matt, and this is Tom. I agree with all those comments, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Think about this, Matt. Ultimately, I bet we both share the same goal, and that goal is to make sure the producers know what's out of and available to them in the form of risk management tools. Sometimes doing nothing's okay, and oftentimes doing nothing is the wrong thing to do, right? Yep. We just want to make sure all clients are educated and know how they work, because it may be a great tool for their operation. They may be missing out if they're not asking enough questions. That's my take on it.
And to add to that, Tom, I think doing nothing while being uneducated on the options that are available to you to manage risk, as opposed to doing nothing and having the options of what you could do or not do right now over a cup of coffee, I think that there's two differences of doing nothing. And I'd rather, if my producer, or I should say your producer, is not going to do anything, I hope they sit there and make the decision to not do anything after they've had a conversation with one of your insurance specialists.
And just add to the conversation here for our listeners in reading into what you guys are saying back and forth here. When you say do nothing, you're making the assumption that they're continuing with their 80 or 85% revenue protection policy, whether it's basic, optional, enterprise units, hail, wind, whatever they might currently do today, given the current price environment. If we can project into the future that they hold true, doing nothing in the sense of doing what I've done the previous year is still a really great strategy.
Right. Well, you hit the nail on the head. Doing nothing by continuing to buy an insurance package that adequately protects my risk. I'll just point to my own family's operation in Northwest Iowa. Our do nothing strategy would be buying 85% RP with buying some ECO on top. We did not buy 100% of the price. We bought 95%, but bought 50% of the price. But Northwest Iowa, we get a fair opportunity for hail and wind, and so we choose to buy about $450 of hail and wind on corn and $400 of hail and soybeans of Comp 2 Plus, which is kind of pricey. At the end of the day, when you look at how margin protection is performed or an RP or a gap, the thing that's taken away our top-end bushels, which equated to our top-end revenue, has been hail and wind over the last 10 years. And so, that would be our do-nothing strategy. If we stayed status quo for 2022 again, which we feel very, very comfortable with that strategy. The do-nothing attitude is certainly not, sitting there not buying insurance, not doing any forward selling, it's staying the status quo as what has worked previously.
So on that note, I appreciate that kind of little conversation there. And obviously, one size does not fit all. Each operation, what's important to them can be different and will be different. Jason, if you would just kind of chime in here and share with our listeners some of the tools available to them as we're talking here today with Compeer that can help them make that right decision, make a good decision in the end of 2022. Just give us a quite little flavor of what that looks like at Compeer.
Yeah, we're excited at Compeer to be able to offer you, our listeners, our clients, and even prospects a valuable discussion around what those goals are for you. Really tailoring a strategy that revolves around you at the center and your goals. So we have tools in our hip pocket in the form of Optimum, as well as Agent Advantage, as well as some of our AIP tools that our good partners like Great American offers to us. To be able to sit down and paint that picture to you guys as customers and even prospects of ours. A lot of our tools are exclusive to us here at Farm Credit. They really make a difference. See how your yields track with the county. See how one policy stacks up against another policy. So the days of just sitting down and having a discussion just with words and you kind of taking our word for it and trusting us, we now have tools available to paint the picture and show you multiple scenarios. What does this product do different than that product? How does it look different one versus another? How do they perform at the end of the year under all of the varying price and yield combination components out there, as well as what we may or may not expect weather-wise? So we're excited about those tools and would love that opportunity to sit down with you and really show you the value that doing business with Compeer would really give your operation.
Thanks, Jason, for that information there. It's certainly important as we think about to what you said, finding the right solution for what your needs are. So, guys, let's get back to that conversation there. Tom, I'm going to bring you back in here and have you kind of share your perspective from where you sit. As we've told our listeners before, you're a farmer as well as an employee at Compeer, so you bring a perspective that I know our internal team appreciates when you have that feedback, your perspective of current pricing environment. What would you say in addition to the conversation we've had here with Matt today?
Yeah, and Matt made a lot of good comments. I had plenty of time to kind of reflect and think about that as he was going through and sharing some of those thoughts. Matt made some points, and it's really about we can't be successful unless our clients are successful, and we want them to get a win 99.9% of the time, right? And whether that's forward marketing, doing some min-max contracts, comparing the cost of puts against maybe some of the risk management tools that we offer out there to see, does this make sense or does it not make sense? So he touched on a lot of those things. And we really, our end goal is to make sure everybody is profitable. Just to kind of reflect a little bit, I bought margin on my soybeans just so I could bide some time. Probably until the middle of December, maybe going into the first week of January, where I'm hoping beans maybe rally up a little bit more before I start to make some forward sales. So however you think about it as a producer, there's so many risk management tools out there. And again, our goal is just to make sure you know what's available and how they work, because a lot of times they make sense for a lot of producers to utilize. So it really takes time, spending time with one of our insurance officers. They're fairly well-versed in that, and I think you're missing out if you're not taking the time to learn everything you can about not only crop insurance risk management tools, but as well as some of the other tools that are available to you out there as well.
Well, guys, thank you for that conversation. As I sat and listened to you guys go back and forth and share that information, my takeaway was, one, there's a lot of numbers to digest, not only current pricing numbers, but the numbers that have happened in the past and where might those numbers go in the future. As Matt talked about, there are products out there that we can use to set a price floor in the 2022 crop year. The benefit of working with Compeer is we offer several different types of products that can do that floor setting, in addition to the products that Matt spoke about. So definitely providing a good platform for you to pull the trigger when it makes sense for you. And obviously, encourage you to have conversations with our team here at Compeer to find out what's the right solution for your operation. Let's transition here and let's jump back into a conversation we talked about earlier, the harvest prices being announced for 2021 crop year at $5.37 and $12.30. Jason, why don't you give the group an update on what those prices mean by them being higher and potential impact for claims for 2021?
Yeah, thanks, Thad. So from a claims perspective, anytime the price sets higher in the fall than they were in the projected or spring time frame, the policy is pretty simple. It really turns into a bushel policy. Any lost bushel below your guarantee just gets paid at that higher price. So there's obviously protection there when the price goes up, but the equation or the thought process becomes simpler in the fact that you have to have a bushel loss when the price sets higher. So if you're in that situation, you've got a bushel loss, production that was harvested less than your guarantee on the bushel side of things, you'll get that difference paid at that higher price, $5.37 on corn, $12.30 on soybeans, as Thad and Matt have mentioned several times. What the tricky part of that process is the amount of time that you have to turn that loss in gets a little shorter. RMA has several rules and regulations in place on timely filed notice of losses and when that can and can't happen. When it's just a straight bushel loss, which is the situation, as I explained, we're in this year, you've got 15 days after the end of harvest to turn that loss in. Now, if you get out past 15 days from the end of harvest, there is still a process to get a claim filed and turned in and accepted. However, the AIP, the insurance provider, will force us as agents and you as clients to go through a delayed notice of loss process. So there's just some more hoops to jump through, more boxes to check to get that approved. To avoid that sort of process, you got 15 days to the end of harvest. Now, that's the end of harvest of that crop for your operation, not when you started harvest, not in the middle of, but once you finish the end of it, you've got 15 days to submit that notice of loss. In years where prices go down and we have more revenue-based losses, you get additional time to set a loss in, to turn it in. But as we said multiple times, prices went up. You need a bushel loss to trigger a claim this year. So that 15-day period of time, that is really important. The takeaway is if you think you have a loss, get with us, your agent, and we can get that filed. No harm, no foul. If it ends up being withdrawn, those are easy. It's not like other lines of insurance where turning in the claim affects your premium rates by any means. So just get that loss turned in if you think you're anywhere near your guarantee from a loss bushel standpoint. We had a lot of areas this year that yielded well, but there was some perils out there in the form of drought, in the form of wind, rain, as Thad mentioned, even some lodging in soybeans. So there could be production losses out there. Get with your agent, turn those in so we don't have any issues in working that claim.
Thanks, Jason, for that. Tom, as we've done in past episodes, you've given an update of what's going on within the government programs. What does our listeners need to be aware of as we sit here in early November?
Yeah, thank you, Thad. Something as a producer you should be thinking about, especially those that participated in the PCCP program last year, which is basically the cover crop. Remember, they had that certification deadline of June 15th. I believe that was a $5 discount on your crop insurance, essentially. We don't know if that program is going to continue or not. And then the next question comes, hey, we've got these cover crops. We plant them in maybe midsummer, maybe early fall. When were we supposed to get those certified? Well, thing is, every FSA office can have a different answer sometimes, but I believe the correct answer is actually July 15th of next year, the same time you would actually certify maybe your corn and beans, for example, for those spring crops. So some thought it was November 15th, some offices thought it was December 15th, quite honestly, if you're going in there to certify some fall-seeded alfalfa or other crops or wheat perhaps, just certify your cover crops as well if you actually participated in that program. But from our understanding from the state level, it is July 15th. So keep that in mind as a producer.
Hey, Tom, real quick on that, too. As most people may or may not know, some of the individual states out there also have a cover crop program. Of course, our listeners are covering multiple states here, so this may or may not apply. I know in Illinois specifically, there's a separate program dealing with cover crops, and they have a little bit earlier deadline to certify than what you mentioned with the PCC program. And so I would just encourage you to get with your insurance officer, get with your local FSA office, and find out what all options are available to you on cover crops in general, and what the advantages might be at your fingertips to get that planted and then obviously certified and reported early, as some of those programs have different deadlines. So thanks, Tom.
Yeah, appreciate it. And for those listeners out there, I believe the pilot states are Illinois and Iowa again, just to remind everybody. So there's some other state-driven programs out there that may have different dates or limitations or restrictions on the number of acres they'll take. So do what you need to do. Give the FSA a call and get it done early is always my thought. Since I'm at the FSA level talking about them, remember, PLC and ARC decisions are due by March 15th, but I do believe they're starting to, well, the literature that we receive says they are starting to take and process those anytime starting now already, but I'm not sure if your FSA, your particular one, local one, is ramped up yet, but certainly give them a call if you know what that decision is going to be. And remember, we do have Agent Advantage is a great tool that we use a lot that actually allows us to run some scenarios for you on PLC and ARC. A lot of people in different areas like, why would anybody take County ARC, right? Well, we were in some drought areas myself, if you've heard us talk before. So I've been County ARC in corn and soybeans, I bet, for like, shoot, I bet 10 years, it seems like. Of course, the first several years were no-brainers, right? And then we couldn't change it for so many years. Now we do it each year, so we got to make those decisions by March 15th. Remember, the products or programs you take, rather, also affect your ability to maybe take SCO. So if SCO is important to you and it makes sense, then you have to take PLC. And there's some reasons why you'd want to do that. Even in states like Minnesota, where you typically have not taken SCO, you should really take a look at SCO and make sure if that makes sense for your operation, because then you'd want to choose PLC. From PLC's price protection, and the County ARC program uses a combination of yield and price, so you got to know if your county is in a really bad area or not, or you think it's going to be bad the next year. So the price trigger points on beans, I believe, is $8.40, and the corn is $3.70. If I'm wrong, I'm just kind of pulling those off of memory. Somebody let me know. But again, those are due March 15th, but you can start doing that anytime. PACE program coming up this year for those that do split N nitrogen applications. We're still waiting for more details to come out to see if that's going to be how it's going to benefit producers. So again, look for more to come on that from our crop insurance specialist. Then we also, I talked earlier about the PCCP program, the cover crop, unknown still, but look for more information. I actually truly expect that to continue, but we'll know more hopefully in the next few months. And of course, WIP Plus. We all love WIP Plus, right? We went through that already. There's also WIP Plus is coming through. It must be in the part of the program stage that says it's going to happen, because I've seen actually the FSA offices start to represent some of their email newsletters. And so look for WIP Plus for 2020 and 2021. Again, a lot of times you actually probably had to suffer some type of bushel loss in your area. So if you're going to be affected, there may be more details on how to qualify and how to apply for that. Get your production in early, get your records ready, because I'm sure us agents will be able to help you with that as well if you're going to qualify. The sooner you get your production in, I really think it makes everything a little bit easier. Lastly, and I forgot to talk about this, I did read this here not too long ago. Think about the FSA office and what they need to do and how we've been working with them closely during this past year, year and a half, especially with, I guess, the COVID restrictions. A lot of it's been done electronically. A lot of it's done behind the plexiglass, maybe in some cases, maybe dropping off things at the FSA office, whatever, emailing it, whatever it may be. They may be shorter staffed in the years to come. Not necessarily in your local FSA office, but maybe in the next FSA office. It looks like there's been more retirements, plus there may be some other requirements that they're going to have to do to keep their job, I guess. So look for more shortages and other issues going on, which means in the end of the day, you're going to may have to leverage other people to help you give you some information. And I believe we're going to be able to do that extremely well. I think our computer insurance officers have been doing that for quite some time. Also know sometimes to do that and to be efficient, we have to make sure that we leverage all the technology we have available to us. And I know this maybe gets old for some, but we do a lot of DocuSign for people to speed up efficiencies. We are going to continue to have your documents that you may need for some of these programs accessible on mycompeer, which will be available on compeer.com. So mycompeer is where you'll sign up and register to be able to get access to all your documents. It's kind of like a free filing service, if you will. So keep that in mind as well. And outside of that, right now, Thad, I don't know. Oh, sorry, I almost missed it. So this got an email today on the Wisconsin Farm Support Program. This will affect only Wisconsin. I think they did it last year. And I think last year there might have been $3,500 available. This may have a deadline here. I think November 29th. I don't have that date right in front of me. But if you have not done that yet, definitely go to the State of Wisconsin Department of Revenue and see if you're interested in that and see what that details. I think the revenue minimum was $10,000, and I think the max was $5 million. So if you're one of those, it makes sense. As part of the CARES Act program, I believe, it's just for the state of Wisconsin. They did it last year. Make sure you get out there and take a look at that or give your insurance officer a call. They could get you the links and information as well.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you, Jason. And special thanks to Matt for joining us here today. As always, if you're not a current subscriber, we ask you in there and please hit the subscribe button. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. If you wouldn't mind, leave us a rate or a review. That information will help us as we look at future podcast episodes. Until next time, take care.